This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis chapters 43 to 45, picking up with According to Birthright, Evil for Good, God Has Found Out Our Guilt, Judah Offers to Trade, and Joseph Reveals Himself. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Oh, Lord, open my lips. To save us. Thank you.
A reading from James chapter 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
During the first week of our break, my wife and I decided to watch the new Ken Burns documentary on the American Revolution, all 12 hours. Lots of very familiar events were covered, such as the Battle of Lexington and Concord, the crossing of the Delaware, Winter Valley Forge, the final capitulation of the British at Yorktown, and lots of very familiar individuals, George Washington, of course, Benjamin Franklin, Paul Revere, even Benedict Arnold. But what really caught my attention was the multifaceted nature of the conflict that occurred. This wasn't just a war between Great Britain and the United States of America. There wasn't even a United States yet. 13 colonies that could hardly get along or agree to anything themselves. And within each colony, there were great divisions. Loyalists ready to fight for the British. Those who were clamoring for independence, fighting against them. Sometimes family against family, brother against brother on the two sides of the battlefield. And Native Americans caught on both sides, sometimes fighting for one, sometimes for the other. If there's one thing you come to realize when you study human conflict, is that there's nothing new under the sun. And so in our reading today that we hear from St. James, we learn of quarrels. He says, what is it with these quarrels and the fighting that goes on between you? There's one thing you quickly realize is that the percentage of sinners in the first century church is exactly the same as in the 20th century and the 21st century, 100%. The descriptions that James gives are kind of shocking in some ways. He speaks about quarrels, fightings, murder. He talks about this conflict going on within them, a battle that is taking place. Even their prayers, he says, have become distorted because they ask wrongly. When James brands them as adulterous people, undoubtedly he's referring back to God's Old Testament people, who were often described in the same way, having gone after the false gods of their neighbors and no longer remaining true to the one God. Now, this may be how the world operates, with fighting each man for himself. But James says that if that's our behavior, if we're going to adopt the ways of the world, then, well, you can know this. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. And you don't want to gloss over that too quickly. Imagine yourself a recipient of this letter from James, hearing this for the first time. And let that soak in for a moment. An enemy of God. When I was a student here in the 1980s, our synod saw its share of conflict, as it seems always to do, and some of that conflict was centered right here on this campus. Lots of differing opinions, yet all had the same goal, the extension of God's kingdom, the proclamation of the gospel. And yet how quickly could opinions settle into conflict? We see the same today. You just have to surf the web to know that, don't you? Pastors pontificating about their latest pet peeve that they might have, with others ready to chime in, either agreeing with them or perhaps vehemently disagreeing. We all hear about the conflict that goes on in our congregations, sometimes pastors being treated as hired hands, other times, and sometimes even in those cases, pastors showing absolutely no regard for their people. Don't misunderstand. Zeal for the truth is always to be commended. But beware how quickly Satan can turn that zeal into something else. Not that we desire the salvation of souls, but that somehow we desire our own self-preservation, advance our own standing. The reality is true. To be a friend of the world, even when it means simply to preserve my own life or reputation, will make one an enemy of God. When parents correct their children, they don't do it in order to put them down or to simply put them in their place. Their goal, of course, is quite the contrary. They yearn that that child will learn to excel in God's holiness and all godliness and virtue. And if that's true of a parent, how much more true is it of the living God, who has placed his own spirit into us in our baptisms? Which explains the plea that James makes here when he says to cast aside every impediment that hinders the grace of God coming upon us. He writes, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep." That sounds like the daily contrition and repentance that Luther calls upon every baptized child of God to experience day in and day out. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to weeping. Not much comfort in those words, is there? Laughter gone and now it's weeping. Joy is gloom. But remember what James also said, that God's grace abounds much more. Think of the words of King David, for example, in Psalm 30, where he cries out to God for mercy and says, "Lord, be my helper," and then yet immediately continues with this confession of faith, "You have turned my mourning into dancing and clothed me with gladness." No more gloom or doom. The season of Advent is often described as a time of repentance, and that's true for certain. Soon enough, we're going to hear John the Baptist cry that the axe is laid at the root of the tree, therefore repent. But moments ago we sang, "The night will soon be ending, the dawn cannot be far." As darkness increasingly descends upon us, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, there is this constant reminder that the church's proclamation is one that is filled with a message of hope. Hope that drowns out fear and sadness. The reason? James gives that also. The Lord has drawn near, and in fact is continuing to draw near, inviting us to draw near to him. Thus we pray, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance." Only by his protection are we able to resist the devil, as James urges us. And only by his grace can we humble ourselves, as James again urges us. But there is where we find our hope, in the one who humbled himself, even to the point of death, and has been highly exalted to the right hand of the throne of God, and now fills all things. Only he can and will exalt you so that you may stand before him with those clean hands and pure hearts. In the name of Jesus.
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of a daughter, Emma Claire, to seminarian David and Brandy Gray. We also give thanks for the birth of a son, Daniel Robert, to Josiah and Fiona Junkin. Additionally, we remember seminarian student Yestin Jones as he deals with various health issues.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary. We thank you for the life of these children, Esther Marie and Daniel Robert, entrusted to our care. Bring them to the saving waters of holy baptism and grant to them that precious inheritance awaiting them in your eternal kingdom. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Gracious Lord, you are the great physician of soul and body. Look with compassion on those who are suffering from illness, especially Yestin. Restore him to health and strength according to your good and gracious will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.